series last week, we were talking about the fact that all of us have a past. And in our past, we all, and everybody back last week raised their hand, anybody that doesn't, you know, we have some good, we have some bad, and we have ugly in our past. That's part of our life, and that defines in a lot of ways who we are. But what we want to keep in mind is that that is the past, all right? And one thing that is for sure about the past is that you cannot change it. You can't go back and relive it. You can't go back and undo it. It is there. It's marked in time, but it's also over. All right, so you got to keep that in mind with that. Now, what we're talking about in this series of lessons is your story, my story. All of us have a story that basically is made up of the good, the bad, the ugly in our life. Okay? It is all about us in that regard. It's who we are. What we're talking about in this series of lessons is to be able to look at our story and to see, what is our story telling about us right now in our life? What are we doing? What's going on in our lives? And for some of us, it's good. A lot of good stuff happening. For some of it, it's not good stuff. It's bad stuff. And for some people, it's ugly stuff that we're dealing with and going through. And one of the things that we said last week in this also is that you know, the good and the bad and the ugly comes in two ways. Some of it is as our own doing. Some of it is our own stuff that we've got involved in, whether it's good, bad, or ugly stuff. And some of that, good, bad, and ugly, is a result of what others have done, you know, to us or in our lives. The question is not what's happened to us in our life, but what are we going to do with our life from here on out? Okay? One of the principles that we talked about last week also was this. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. I want you to remember that. I'm going to keep reminding you of that every time because it's very true. We look sometimes at what's going on in our life. We say, my life is a mess. I don't like it. But we keep doing the same things. And like Albert Einstein says, that's insanity. Okay? If the definition of insanity that he gives is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Okay? So the idea here is we've got to do something different. If our life is not what we want it to be and what God wants it to be, certainly, then we've got to start doing things different. Because if we keep doing the same things, our life is not going to change. And that's part of what this message is really all about. It's learning to do different things. If you don't do anything different, your past will be your future. All right? We also talk about the fact that we have a future. In fact, I shared this little tidbit with you. My hope is in the future. I'm going to spend the rest of my life there. And that's where all of us are spending the rest of our life. It's in our future. Okay? It's not in the past. So don't live there. All right? We have to live and realize where we are in life and what life has for us. We have a past. Full of good, bad, and ugly, but we also have a future. Okay? What we need to make sure we don't do is to live in the past. As we said before, the past is over. We cannot undo it. We can't change it. It's part of our history. But it does no good for us to live there. And by the way, that's true whether your past is so full of good stuff that you go, well, I just wish I could live there. And a lot of people want to go back to, as we said, the good old days because it was so good. Well, it doesn't do any good to live back there. Because one of the things that happens when we live in the past is we're not allowing ourselves to be used by God for His future for us. So we need to not live in the past. Instead, what we've got to do is let God change our story. Okay? And that's what this series of lessons is all about. This morning, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Nicodemus. And I like to refer to him as Nick at Night. Okay, how many of you are familiar with Nickelodeon? Okay, that's a good way to remember Nicodemus. Nick at Night, okay? Because Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. But the first question is, who was Nicodemus? Who is this guy anyway? All right? Well, a couple of things about him, just so you kind of understand what's going on in his story. Nicodemus, first of all, was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were part of the ruling class of the Jewish people. Part of the religious leaders, religious ruling class. But Nicodemus wasn't just a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a part of the Sanhedrin. Okay? Now, the Sanhedrin was a group of Pharisees and Sadducees who were also part of the ruling class. They were the religious leaders of the Jewish people. Amen. They were kind of like a council, if you will, of religious leaders that ruled over the Jewish people. Amen. And Nicodemus was a part of that group. Okay? So, not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin, but that made him part of the upper class of his society. And not only was he part of the upper class of his society, but he was also an expert in the law. Now, that's significant, has a great bit to do with our lesson this morning in his conversation with Jesus. Keep in mind, he was a lawyer. He knew what the law of Moses was all about. He knew what it said, and he knew what it required. Amen. And then finally, Nicodemus, because of who he was and his status, he carried a certain amount of respect by everybody else. So basically, in a nutshell, that's who Nicodemus was. And the Bible tells us that he came to Jesus at night. Okay? Thus, Nick at night. He came to Jesus to talk to him. And I want you to kind of think about that this morning in this way, that basically I think what Nicodemus was doing was hiding in the darkness. What was he hiding from? Why did Nicodemus go to visit Jesus at night rather than just in the middle of the day and so forth? Well, let me suggest to you that perhaps maybe he was hiding from his colleagues. In other words, Nicodemus, being who he was, wanted to investigate this rabbi that had come on the scene who was really shaking things up religiously. He wanted to go and investigate him, but he didn't want all of his colleagues to see him doing so because that might shed him in a bad light. What are you doing hanging out with this guy?
Well,
kind of thing. So Nicodemus attempts to go and see Jesus secretly so nobody else is able to see him there. But perhaps maybe there were some other things that Nicodemus was hiding from. Like maybe he was hiding in religious security. That is, his whole life was surrounded by the idea of keeping the law and following the rules and all that religious stuff that he was involved in. So maybe he was hiding in that. Perhaps maybe something wasn't really working religiously for Nicodemus. Then again, Nicodemus sees this rabbi come on the scene and he's saying things and he's doing things that are so different than what Nicodemus was used to, that it probably started causing Nicodemus to question some of his own beliefs and practices. And wait a minute, what is going on? John tells us that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a man sent from God, for no one could do the things that you are doing unless God was with him." So Nicodemus understood and he recognized that the things that Jesus was teaching were different and they were special. And the things that Nicodemus, or that Jesus was doing were special. He was performing miracles, and Nicodemus had to acknowledge that came only from God. So he had to investigate. Let me ask you this question. Just let it sink in for a moment. Okay? Was your religion working for you? How's your religion working for you? In other words, perhaps maybe might you, like Nicodemus, be hiding in the security of your religion, like maybe the right name on the side of the church building? That you look at that and you feel, yeah, I'm in the right place, so I got everything taken care of. Is that maybe where you are religiously? Maybe, you know, it's this whole go to church on Sunday thing. You know, it's Sunday, we need to go to church. And so we dress up in our Sunday best and we go to church. And perhaps for some of you here this morning, it's the idea of, I've got this scorecard that I have to check off and make sure that we do everything that we're supposed to do so that when it's all finished, we can walk out of here and say, worship is done, we did that, now let's go on with the rest of our lives for the rest of the week. There has to be more. We finished our series, we just finished a couple of weeks ago, this series on holy ground and focusing on what worship really needs to be all about. Do we really understand that, as we talked about, we come here to this place at this time to worship God on holy ground? But maybe that's not what you've been doing. Maybe you've been keeping all the rules and following all, checking off the scorecard. And for some people, I've known people in my life, and I just kind of have a term for it. You know, we go to church on Sunday, we live like the devil the rest of the week. In other words, what we do here at this time on Sunday morning in worship to God has really not much effect at all on our daily life. So we have religion, and it makes us feel good. But is that enough? See? I forgot to tell you when we started this morning that watch your toes because I might step on them this morning. Because I want to challenge you to think about your relationship with Christ. Because that's what the story of Nicodemus is really all about. You see, we need to go back and look at and question our beliefs. Because too often we kind of get into this belief system and we find this security that we believe the right things and this is what our church says, this is what our preacher says, and we believe those things, so we're okay. And so for those in the churches of Christ, there's things like this. We believe that baptism is essential to salvation. You got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. So our goal is to get people in the water. You see? And that we only have a cappella singing. Instrumental music is forbidden. We don't, you know, we can't do that. We believe in that. Communion, we have it every Sunday, first day of every week. We got to celebrate communion. And we call our preachers, not pastors. Okay? And then there's the elders and the deacons that are responsible for overseeing and working the things that need to be done in the church and all of those things. And we believe in church autonomy. And there's a whole list of things like this that we put together and we look at and we say, this is what we do, this is what we believe, this is how we live. But here's a question for you. How many of us are doing these things simply because that's what we've been told we're supposed to do? How many are doing because you actually have searched the Scriptures and know that that's what the Bible really says? And you've taken those things and you've made that faith your own. You do those things not because that's what the church told you to do, but you do it because that's what the Bible says. Amen. You see, there's a difference between those two approaches. These things are all important. Doing good works. Being baptized into Christ. Going to church. And our family and the influence that our family has and the teachings that they give us, they're all good things, but they're not enough. These things do a really great job at giving us religion. But what God wants from every single one of us is a relationship. He's not satisfied with just having religion. Just going to church and just following the rules and keeping certain things and so forth. He wants a relationship with every single one of us. Right? How can this be? That's the response that Nicodemus gave to Jesus when he gave him this statement. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. How can this be, Nicodemus says? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And in that conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus, Jesus confronted him. And he said to Nicodemus, "You're a teacher of Israel. How can it be that you don't know these things?" You see, a lot of people like to think that Nicodemus didn't really understand what Jesus was saying, but I don't think that's true. I think Nicodemus knew exactly what Jesus was saying. And I think a good way to understand what Nicodemus was, how Nicodemus was responding to Jesus was saying, "You know, Lord, what you're doing is you're telling me I got to change, and it's really hard to change when you're old. How can a man be born again when he is old?" But yet that's what Jesus challenged him and what he challenges you and I to do today. Jesus' response to Nicodemus would be along this line. You're involved in the religious establishment. You're keeping all the rules, but something is missing. It's not enough for you to rely on your family heritage and your family tree. And yes, we can trace your line all the way back to Adam, and you can feel secure in knowing that you are a true Israelite. But that's not enough. And the success that you have reached in life, the level of success as to who you are, a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin and all those things, it's not enough. And even the fact that you have been circumcised is not enough. Because something more is required than just following all the rules.
Amen.
Jesus was telling him, and he's telling you and I, the same thing. What is required is a change of heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus does not want our religion. He wants us.
Amen.
He wants our heart. He doesn't just want us to go to church. He wants us to come to Him. He requires a change of heart. And it is a change that is so drastic within us that it is as if you were starting life all over again. And that's why he says it that way. You must be born again. You've got to start all over in a new life. Because the old life is not going to, it's not going to get it done. The old life that is all wrapped up in you is not going to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. It's got to be a new life. And it is so radical of a change that it is like being born all over again. And that's why Jesus says, you must do this. Yeah. Notice that that is a command. It's not an option here.
Right.
Jesus doesn't give this as a suggestion. As if, you know, it'd really be good if you would be born again. It's not what it says. You must be. And what he's calling upon us to do, what he was saying to Nicodemus is, you've got to let go of the old. You've got to start all over again in a new life with me.
Amen.
No more trusting in your bloodline, your family heritage, your education, your level of success, your religious practices. No more trusting in all of those things. But learning how to trust only in Him. In a new life, starting all over again. Now we go to the cross. The conversation, the dialogue that Nicodemus had with Jesus, after Nicodemus, you know, was questioning this whole idea of being born again, how can I be born again? Jesus goes on, and by the way, in that conversation John records for us is that perhaps most well-known verse, John 3:16, which says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, right? That whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have life everlasting. That's in that dialogue that Jesus has with Nicodemus.
Amen.
But the narrative, that dialogue that Jesus has there, ends with his Jesus' words. In other words, nothing is said of how Nicodemus responds to Jesus at that time. So if that were all that was said in the scriptures about it, we'd kind of like, okay, so what happened? Well, the Bible does share with us what happened. Okay? In John chapter 7, verses 50 through 52, Nicodemus is there in a meeting of the Sanhedrin, that Jewish ruling council. And they are discussing the problem of Jesus. What are we going to do with this guy?
Well,
he was wreaking religious havoc all over by his teachings. They wanted to get rid of him. And Nicodemus says this. And it tells us, the one who had gone to Jesus earlier, who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing?" So, do you understand what's happening here? What we see, Nicodemus is no longer hiding in the darkness. But he's coming out a little bit into the light. Being able to stand in front of his colleagues now and to challenge them. And their take on Jesus. Well, that didn't set very well with his colleagues. Okay? And they accused Nicodemus of kind of being with him. "What, are you from Galilee too?" they said to him. In other words, are you one of his followers? And then from there, in John chapter 19, we see Nicodemus fully exposed in the light. In the light at the cross. Where is Nicodemus, who helps Joseph of Arimathea remove the body of Jesus from the cross and help him to bury it? No more hiding. No more going around in the shadows afraid that people might see that Nicodemus is for Jesus. What we see in this event is that Nicodemus has made it very clear that he has made a choice to follow Jesus. Because you don't go to the cross and take down the body of someone that you don't believe in. Someone that you don't care for.
Amen.
So Nicodemus came out of the darkness and stood in the light, declaring his belief in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so what happened is, that through these events, through their interaction, Jesus rewrote Nicodemus' story by replacing his religion with a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
That Nicodemus was able to let go of all his religious security that he had in who he was and his status and position and all those things, and be able to follow Jesus. And as I said before, Jesus wants a relationship. Satan is perfectly fine with people going to church. He really is. He's perfectly fine with us having religion. What he doesn't want is for us to have a relationship with Jesus. But what Jesus wants is a relationship with you. Let's talk about us losing our religion. Okay? It's a challenge for every single one of us. And by the way, I'm not preaching just at you. I'm preaching to myself too. You may not realize this, but as a preacher, it's really easy to get kind of caught up in a routine of things. You know, it really is. And so I have to constantly be looking and reminding myself not to allow myself to get stuck in that. It's really easy for me to kind of be like Nicodemus and go, "Hey, I'm a preacher. I got it all together." I can't do that. And so as I challenge you, understand I'm challenging myself not to get stuck in religion, but rather to to allow God to rewrite our story. Let Him rewrite your story into a relationship with Him, like He did with Nicodemus. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week, and I just again want to remind you, I'm going to remind you of this every time, is this particular principle here. Your story is always in draft mode. It is never going to be finished until your life on this earth is done. Then your story will be complete. And that's the beauty of it. You see? That's the beauty of it. It is constantly being written. The issue and the question is, what is your story going to say? If you don't do anything different than what you've been doing in the past, it's going to say the same thing. The final chapter, what's it going to say? It can say, yes, I had a lot of ugly in my life early on, but you know what? I came to a point where I realized that Jesus wanted a relationship with me, and I started all over again in a new life with Him, and boy, the rest of my story has been great.
Amen.
Not all without problems, but boy, when those problems came, I had some power to help me with those things. What a different story to end with. So it's in draft mode all the time. And the real issue is that God can change your story whenever you decide to allow Him to do that. And that's what this is all about. Allowing God to change your story. Don't live in the past. Allow God to rewrite your story the way that He wants it to be.
Amen.
So that you are living for His purpose in your life. What is your story? Ray has a song that he's chosen for us and we're going to sing as an invitation song. The invitation is extended to anyone. For those who your story might say something like, I'm still lost in my sin because I haven't given my life to Christ, but I'm ready to do that. The opportunity is available right now for you to give your life to Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. For those who may be stuck in religion, ready to get out of it and have a relationship with Jesus, then let Him know that. Let Him take your life where it is right now and begin changing it. And changing your story. So that it reads what He wants it to be for your life. You need help with that, encouragement, guidance, whatever it is, it's a great opportunity to let us know so that we can give you what you need to help you to allow Jesus to really build the relationship with you that He wants you to have. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.